Steve Arterburn here, and joining me today, Milan Jurkovic and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
I'm in a marriage. I just got married 3 months ago, and it's a complete disaster.
I feel like my life is nothing but a rut.
Well, that's good news, because a rut has two open ends. A grave has the ends already filled in.
Boundaries don't have to have timelines. You just simply say, when this behavior ceases, when you get into therapy, when you do the following things, then we will talk.
God's whole program is, when we've been trying it one way, then we try it His way.
Play therapy or drawing, art therapy, that works really well
takes
with children.
Time.
That's what your 30 days of celibacy has brought to light, is that, okay, you can manage this, but boy, he can't.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Milan Jurkovic, and it is happy St. Patrick's Day to you all. And, of course, we're not wearing a stitch of green anywhere.
We all look at each other.
No, but there's green on the microphone.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
We're celebrating it in the studio. The other day I was listening or watching Ellen DeGeneres, and they were celebrating their 1,300th show.
Wow.
Yeah. Today, we have hit a milestone. This is our 100th broadcast on television. How about that? And they said it wouldn't last.
Woo.
Huh?
Ooh.
Yeah, 100.
There's the confetti and balloons.
So, thank you for supporting us. And
is it coming?
It's not coming.
Oh,
thanks for supporting us and allowing us to be
I was
on
waiting.
100 programs. And, you know, it's not just that we've been on 100 programs on television. I really believe that being on television has made us do a better job at what we do. Because, you know, when you're on radio, no one knows what you're doing. And so you can be answering emails and all that and just let somebody else do all the answering. But not here. So we're so grateful. NRB and Family Net, DirecTV, any other cable system that carries us, we're grateful to you. Thank you. 100 broadcasts on television today. Woohoo! St. Patrick's Day. It's a double vacation day holiday.
Well,
all right.
And congratulations to you, host Steve Arterburn.
Mm-hmm. Because you've done all 100 of them.
That's right.
I have
we
done
yes. have
all 100.
Not.
That's
yes.
right.
And congratulations to you. 2 days ago, the release of your book, How We Love Our Kids.
Yes. We are so excited. Back in those writing days, you don't ever think this day is going to occur. You're just laboring at your computer and having arguments with Kay and I about what should go in and what shouldn't. And, oh, my gosh. You know, it's just a delight to have it out.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that has characterized your How We Love book, the first book, is that it has some new insights presented in a very, very easily understood way. It brings it to everybody. And, you know, a lot of people have written on avoidant people or, you know, borderline people. But the way you've done it is really fantastic. How does all of this fit into a book about children?
What we've tried to do is take literature that the average person doesn't read, research literature on attachment theory, as well as other aspects of parenting, and really our own experience as a mom and dad having raised four kids and so on. And basically put those down on the bottom shelf where everybody can take those cookies and grab one.
Right.
All right. So really what it's all about is us learning to be better parents. And there aren't a lot of books written about how to improve your parenting. But each one of these attachment styles has strengths and weaknesses.
Right.
And if you can harness the strengths and minimize the weaknesses and make some small changes in you, honestly, it makes a very big difference in your kids.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. That book is available at newlife.com. You can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, but newlife.com. You can order it online. How We Love Our Kids. I think that's going to be as big a winner. I've said it before. We looked for one for me the other day in Indianapolis. All the bookstores were sold out. That's how popular this How We Love book is. How We Love Our Kids is going to be even better. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll go right to our phone calls here on New Life Live. Glad you're with us today. And all month we're asking people to support one day of radio in your area. One day of radio, the average cost is $110. And if you can do that, go to newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back right after this.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and we're going to go to Stephanie in San Dimas, California, listening on KKLA. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello. Thank you for letting me be on your show.
You're welcome. How old are you, Stephanie?
I'm 13.
Oh, is this the first time you've ever listened to the program?
I listen to it a lot with my mom after school.
Oh, that's great. Well, how could we help you?
I found out a few months ago that my dad has a girlfriend, and he kept it from me for a long time. My sister told me that, my older sister told me that she's a jealous type, and she reacts a lot when I'm with my dad, when she was with my dad, so I was wondering, how should I treat my dad's girlfriend?
Okay. Now, she's been with your sister, is that what you said?
Yes.
And what is the reaction? Is it about you when you're with your dad, or your sister with your dad? Explain that to me a little bit more.
It was with my sister.
Okay.
It was with my sister and her dad, and she was there, and then, like, she probably... I don't know. I think she yelled a little bit, or she got jealous because, you know, the relationship with my dad and my sister, older sister.
Okay. All right. Well, that's got to be kind of scary then. Mm-hmm. You know, in your dad's favor, we often tell guys like him not to bring those people around too soon, you know, to not introduce them to a 13-year-old because... You know, you just don't want to get attached to them and all that. But it sounds like he's gotten pretty serious about this one. And I think just telling your dad that you're kind of afraid would be a helpful thing. You don't have to say you're afraid she'd be jealous or something, but you could just say, Dad, I'm just afraid. I don't feel really very good about this, and I just need some help getting through it. Mylan, what
Stephanie,
do you
has your dad had lots of girlfriends?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay, so you haven't had this experience much before.
No.
Of dealing with someone else. Is it usually when you visit your dad? Is it just you and your dad and your sister?
It's just me and my dad, but I haven't met her yet.
Okay, okay. And can you talk pretty well to your dad?
Yes. I can.
Yes, but there's a little hesitancy there.
Yeah,
What's the hesitancy?
Because, I love my dad, and when I tell him that I feel kind of jealous because I miss him and he's spending more time with his girlfriend, he tells me, child, do you really think that, how do you feel when I'm alone in the house when after me and your dad your mom were divorced, how did you feel? Do you think that I would, because I'm alone? So I told him that I felt sad that you were alone, but at least he has someone with him now.
Yeah. Well, so he's really focused on his feelings and doesn't really know how to connect with what you're going through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which might be something to tell him, which is that you understand that he has feelings, but you need him to hear your feelings as well. And would he be willing to listen to those? But
yeah, and just to illustrate that,
okay,
to say, Dad, it's like when I told you about my feelings of feeling alone, your answer was telling me about your feelings of feeling alone rather than just talk about my feelings for a little bit. And I really do care about you, but I just wanted to talk about my feelings. I hope we can do that in the future.
Or maybe we can take turns.
Yeah.
I'll share my feelings and you hear those, and then you can share your feelings and I'll hear those. But it sounds like the girlfriend isn't the only one struggling with jealousy, Stephanie. That, you know, maybe, you know, do you think she should be afraid too? Of you? And, you know, sometimes we're jealous when we feel unsure. And maybe both of you are feeling really unsure about how does all of this fit together. And that's pretty normal to feel unsure, especially in the beginning. It takes a long time to develop friendships and relationships. And this is a new situation, so it makes sense that you would be uneasy.
Now, I want to talk to parents in general in a minute. But Stephanie, did you have any other question you wanted to ask us? Anything else we could help you with?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Mylan wants to say one thing to you.
Yet.
Just a second.
Stephanie, I'm really proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think you're a cool girl. Hey, you know what? I think Jill and Steve are onto something here. If you walk into the meeting with your dad and his girlfriend and you go, somebody's feeling uncomfortable, say, you know, we all have feelings here, you know, and I'm sure we're all a little scared, or this is all new, it's nice to meet you, it's a little scary for me to meet you. You sound like you're being quite the adult here. But I would also go into it and not try to be the parent and fix everybody. It's your dad's job to take care of you more than you taking care of him. So don't overprotect your dad. Just be you and just be your fun self. And enjoy yourself. And if you like the person, like her. If you don't. Just be yourself no matter what she does. Even if she's reactive, you be you. Because in 5 years, you're going to be 18, a legal adult. And if you start learning that now, you'll be better as a young adult.
So true.
All right?
So true. All right, Stephanie, 13 years old. I'm going to send you a Bible. I hope that you will enjoy that Bible. And God bless you there. To parents, I want to say you gotta see how fragile these kids are, and you've got to see that the divorce is causing pain. And when they bring up something that hurts or is uncomfortable or painful, for you to bring up your pain or suffering rather than connect with them,
well, it's such a natural reaction, though.
Yeah,
you know, people want to defend their position,
right?
So, but it's not helpful.
Stop it.
Yeah,
that's what we're saying. Okay.
Well, I like your point. We all have feelings here, and Dad, please don't dismiss mine. Yours are valid, mine are. They aren't mutually exclusive. One doesn't cancel the other out.
That's right.
Right.
Okay, let's talk with Michelle from Carlton, Texas. She watches on FamilyNet. Hello there.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing well, Michelle. Thank you. How could we help you?
Great. Okay, sir, I wanted to know if you could help me out with giving my time and my devotion to a friend for over 20 years, and they have just deserted me just recently to reunite with an old high school friend of theirs that inherited a large sum of, you know, property value, and it just seems as though they have just forgotten I exist. So do you think I should pursue this relationship, or do I just let him go? Because I've been hurt, and I'm just lost as a lamb because, you know, he did everything for me and, you know, just tuned up my car, you know, turned on the air conditioner in the summer. And
well, let me ask you this. Why didn't you guys ever look at the romantic side of relationships and move forward and get married?
I couldn't convince him. I tried, but well, he had been through a bitter divorce.
Did you just stay friends with him rather than pursue getting married to someone else?
I think we were just like helpmates in life for one another.
All right. And now you see that he's abandoned you.
Yeah, for something materialistic like somebody else's house.
I would give up on it if I were you. You ask if you should give up. I think you should give up on it.
Ouch, though.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's painful, but
really
I think that's probably going to be a really good thing for you.
To be alone.
To not depend on him, and you don't have to be alone. You can develop female friends.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Did your mom have a tough time teaching you how to connect with her?
Oh, I never connected with her.
Yeah, yeah.
So you think that's the problem?
Yeah. Well, and you know, you can find different places to figure out how to be comfortable with
Well, if it's easier for her to connect with males than it is females, is your question, Steve. So, like, if she didn't connect with her mom, it may be easier to connect with males, and so she's looking for connection with males.
And I would just say he probably became her whole life rather than one of six
friends.
Well,
your companion, yeah.
That's what I'm looking for.
Your non-romantic partner.
But see, I think there's something here that needs to be addressed, which is your inability or unwillingness to look at reality, that you would keep wishing and hoping and wishing that somehow this would turn into something. And really, we have to ask, what am I going to get out of this turnip? Can I get blood out of a turnip? No, I really can't, you see. That's a good Texas term, isn't it, or an expression?
I'm staying here. I mean, I'm just dumped here, but I'm
I respect that, but I'm also saying there's perhaps a wishing and a hope and an unrealistic idealism tied into your staying on for 20 years. He wasn't probably giving you a whole lot except this help me kind of a thing. And I think you probably loved him at some level.
Cared.
And I think, yes, you cared. Yeah. And I think it's okay to use the word love here.
Oh.
You may have fallen in love with a guy.
Not too much.
Well, I tell you, everything that you're saying here leads us to believe that
you're really hurt.
Actually deeply in love with this guy, and he's a big part of your life. And
so it's a horrible loss.
And he filled a void for you that kept you from creating more or something different. And perhaps you made more of it than was really there for him.
Yeah.
Could be.
But when somebody just takes off, you know, I would at least want them to know.
Yeah.
You know?
Can I ask you a question, Michelle?
Go ahead, yes, sir.
This is a difficult question, but was sex involved?
Not really, no.
Okay, he was more than...
I was trying desperately to get him to marry me just out of
how it looked. This is more than turning on your furnace.
Yeah, but he said he didn't want to get married again. He'd already been married.
Okay, but
you
didn't answer my
question.
Was sex involved?
No, it wasn't, because I'm a member of the church, and I just kept, you know, urging him to make it right, make it legal.
Now,
he didn't want to.
Michelle,
it to myself.
There's a reason we ask this, because that has a lot to do with a woman staying attached and wishing.
And not seeing the signs.
And hoping. And usually if a person is not involved sexually, we're not trying to shame you or anything, usually they don't say not really. They say, oh, we never. But
no, it wasn't consummated or anything like that.
Okay. All right.
Did he live with you?
I lived in his home.
Okay, there we go.
Oh.
See, you were cohabiting.
Yeah, so it creates
family. I had no place else to go. My family had abandoned me. I mean, rejected
me. Yeah, that's okay.
That's not the issue here. No wonder this is really hard for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you are alone because he's now gone and you're stuck in Carlton, Texas. And
is he out of the house now and you live there or what?
No, he owned the house. I had to go someplace else.
Mm. Oh, so, okay.
Mm. That's got to be tough.
We're
so
sorry.
He really did end the friendship.
He hasn't said anything to me. My things are still there, and I've only when I do kind of run into him, I just hurry up and just try to get away from him. But he looks at me like, why are you acting this way? But I'm just mad at him. That's all. I'm just mad.
I don't blame you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
All right.
No other emotions.
Well,
so back to your answer, Steve. Yes. Need to let it go, cut it, stop, move on.
Grieve the loss. Pick up your life. Do some fun things, interesting things. Get involved with the church. Don't just go to church. Serve. Use your spiritual gifts. Those kinds of things will help you get through this.
Amen.
Wishing does not help.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, we're sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm glad you all are, and I'm going to try to move on.
All right.
Yeah.
Best I can. Well, God bless you, and thank you guys.
Hey, we hope you find a great guy, Michelle.
We do. All right. Well, that's got to be tough to be that close to somebody and want to marry somebody that long, and then all
that's
of a sudden
that's like a divorce, practically. You know.
Well, even her phrase "just to make it right, to make it legal," you know, implied some sort of an intimacy that he wasn't owning, and I don't blame her for
being upset.
Okay, someone might be listening, and you've been dating a person for more than a couple of years. And usually, if something hasn't happened, well, within a year, or a year and a half, or 2 years, there's a problem that needs to be addressed. And if you address it and deal with it, sometimes you can help somebody work through the problem that causes them to be afraid of commitment, or they don't want to be engulfed or smothered or vulnerable at all. You can help them deal with that. We'll take a break and come right back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person. For the first time in my life, I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Joan from Denver, Colorado, KRKS. And I understand, Joan, they tell me that you are Irish.
Yes, indeed. Well, is anyone totally Irish? I think we're all a bit of a blend, but I'm going to say 80% Irish.
Now, Joan, tell me the truth. Are you going to drink green beer today?
I'm not.
Okay. Me either.
Doesn't
all right.
Sound appealing.
Yeah. Well, you know, on St. Patrick's Day, my name is Yurkovich.
Yurkovich.
Yeah, that's okay. The Irish part of me.
That's
yeah.
Very funny. Okay, sorry, what's going on, Joan? How could we help you? And I'm just talking so my own isn't corny anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. How could we help?
And thank you for that. I'm calling because I feel like
that was good,
I
Joan.
Need to ask you for a resource or a particular intervention.
Okay.
I feel like my heart is stuck in trying to make things okay. It's almost an act of independence, but it's not really that willful. I think it's just too long. I was raised in a family that was alcoholic. I was the youngest of five with some pretty decent age differences between my siblings and I. So I kind of grew up on my own, even though I had a decent-sized family.
Okay.
And it's just still affecting me today.
Okay.
I lost some good friendships last year, and I think it's all tied together. Mm. I don't know if that's making sense to
you. Sure, yeah. Okay. What do you guys think?
Well, what's the question? I'm really not clear.
The question is, what is the resource or what would be a good intervention if I need to break the habit of making situations where my needs aren't being met okay? Like right now, I don't have nearly enough work, and yet, you know, my head and heart about that is, whatever's happening is okay. I can be okay no matter what else is going on.
Oh, so you minimize.
I'll manage on my own.
You minimize your own emotions to cope.
Mm. Could be. I couldn't tell you what the issue is. It's not as clear as like, where do I go for help because I eat too much.
Okay.
I'm searching a little bit for what the issue may be. I'm trying to give you some insights that I have.
Do you have a hard time being the bad guy or being looked on as someone that's not happy or satisfied or fulfilled?
You know, I really flip-flop because I was part of an unhealthy relationship, marriage,
mm-hmm.
and I'm telling you, nobody drew a stronger line than I did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was like, you know, healthy relationship police.
Yeah.
I was very willing to stand up for myself, but I guess when there's no one there is when I try to make it okay.
Yeah.
That's really familiar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, Joan, I imagine a little girl, youngest of five, you said alcoholic family.
Right.
You know, nobody in a family like that, nobody copes very well. And so there isn't a lot to go around. So it sounds like you really learned how to kind of be in that survival mode of just not needing a whole lot. Again, minimizing your needs. Because, you know, if you made them known, nobody was probably going to respond. So it's that little girl that, you know, when you get that similar feeling, even though it may look different in your life now,
mm-hmm.
you know, the players are different, mm-hmm. different context, that same feeling connects and you go, oh, I know what to do here. And it's just automatic. I'll just kind of shut down, start conserving my needs. I won't need a whole lot, and I'll just be okay. I'll make it through. The difference is you're not that little girl anymore. She's still a
right.
part of you, but you're the adult who could actually respond to her. You
okay.
you could help her and do something different instead of just having to be satisfied with so, you know, such little amount of, in a sense, emotional food. It's like you're living
right.
on crumbs.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
That's,
yeah.
that's what I said to the person who had taken
oh.
my question.
Okay.
Well, but see, then what you do then when you feel, you said, how do I get unstuck from all of this? And you said, what I do when I'm upset is I eat. Is that what
yeah.
you said?
No, I was just saying that I couldn't tell you, like, I haven't already identified what my problem is.
That's so specific.
Can you please
It'd be
help
easy.
Me with my overeating? I have, like, this heart awareness, and I have this background awareness, but I'm almost asking you to identify what the issue is.
Well, I think Jill just said what it was, which is you have said no to yourself for so many years, you don't
mm-hmm.
know how to enter into relationships that are mutually reciprocal, where you could be, and I would say part of the cure, or how do I get unstuck, is I'd get in a group. Small group, women's group of adult children of alcoholics. I get into Al-Anon. I would get into groups where everybody is talking about and
or
really
a CODA group.
Codependency
mm-hmm.
group where people are really talking about their needs and really taking their needs and putting them out there. Because if you've been a caretaker, you'll be hesitant to put your own needs out there, you know?
And also, sometimes often in an alcoholic home, you had a role. In that home, you know, you
mm-hmm.
you had a very specific role. Then when you move on, even 10, 15, 20 years later, you still may have a hard time with life because you're not back at that role anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You're uneasy. All the pieces aren't there for you to fulfill that role. And so you just try to please, you try to get through, try to make it okay, just like you did when there was an alcoholic. And so I think you may have lost yourself.
Yep.
Or you've never known who you really are inside, the boundaries that you have, the dimensions that you have, and the depth. And I'm hoping and praying that this might be the beginning of you coming to discover exactly who you are and enjoy who you are and stand up for yourself and say, I'm not getting enough, or this isn't acceptable for me. We'll be back right after this for more New Life.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our eating disorder treatment clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back, and once again, there is a marriage conference in May. Through it all, better than ever is the name. And it is our New Life Marriage Weekend. We've never done it before. Dr. Dave Stoop and his wife Jan and Mylon and Kay, his wife Kay. It's going to be great. I'll be there. They'll be there. Our New Life Weekend is January the 22nd. That's in Philadelphia. Every Man's Battle is March the 25th.
When did you say it was? The New Life Weekend was what?
July 22nd.
Oh, I thought you said January. Maybe I misunderstood.
I have been known to say July.
You can check the website.
Yeah, check the website, newlife.com.
Sure.
That's right.
I'm not going to do that.
All right. Eileen is from Washington, D.C., and she listens on the great station, WAVA, where I'm coming to do a pastor's appreciation lunch, and I can't wait. It's the 23rd. How can we help?
Hi, Steve and Mylon and Jill, Dr. Jill. What do I do when my husband hasn't left his family and sort of cleft to me, like prioritized me over them in some ways?
Now, when you say family, are you meaning mother or is it truly the family?
I mean the mother and his two brothers.
Okay.
Not having left and cleft is a real problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Explain what is it that goes on and how it bothers you. What do they do? What does he do?
Sure. Well, it hurts me when, you know, they sort of sometimes talk behind my back.
Oh, brother.
About me instead of going directly to me. Like, even before he got married, the mother complained to me about the one brother, and then the brother came and complained to me, and that really hurt. But I sort of pushed it aside at the time, and then, you know, since then, there's been all kinds of things happening, but, and we've tried to talk about it, and I've tried to get him to honor me or stand up for me or support me, but he doesn't. And the most recent thing that happened is apparently his brother sent some thoughts about me in an email to my husband and told him not to share anything with me, and that makes me feel really hurt because I don't think there should be any secrets about me that the brother says. Like, if he has an issue, either the brother should tell me or my husband should talk to me
sure.
about it.
All right. Now, what's the question that we could answer for you?
Well, how do I deal with my hurt because I can't seem to get my husband to understand? So I don't think that it's ever going to really change.
What have you said to him, and what has he said to you?
Well, I've asked him not to do that, and there was a similar situation in November where I asked to see the email, and he wouldn't show me to honor the brother because he said, well, I want to honor my brother. He said, I shouldn't share this stuff, so I don't want to do
that. That's too bad. You know, because I think married people need a policy that anything on the computer, any email of any sort, is open to both parties. You're one. If you're one, then you know the passwords and you're not keeping secrets. Mylon, you were about to say something there. Is that right?
Eileen, are you preoccupied about other relationships? Do you have a history of wondering what people are thinking and saying about you, like through your adolescence, early childhood, before you got married? You leave events, functions, and you just wonder and think for hours, even days, about what people's thoughts are about you?
Well, I definitely codependent.
No, that's not the word I use. Are you preoccupied?
Preoccupied. Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe if it's, you know, like if there was a betrayal, like if I shared a confidence with somebody and they betrayed it to somebody else, some other people, then it bothered me. I mean, I don't think that I was preoccupied necessarily.
Well, you'll think about it. What I mean is you'll think about it over and over again. It'll captivate your mind and you'll end up thinking about a lot. Are you self-conscious in front of other people?
I can be, you know, but it depends if it's, you know, like if it's a group of people, like I'm terrified of speaking in public at times, but if it's just a small group or my small group, for instance, you know, I don't mind sharing things if I trust the people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. I just know that some people are very sensitive about themselves in groupings of people. And
I probably am. And plus, my family was very small, and here it's like three brothers and parents that have been married for 55 years. And
Right. So really, if you're sensitive about rejection and abandonment with your husband, and you use words like betrayal and words like this that are very extreme, what you're asking him to do is almost, well, first of all, I do really respect the concept of leaving and cleaving, and I don't think the average family does that very well at all, period.
I agree, yeah.
Okay, so that's just number one, just you're right. But number two, if you're ultra-sensitive, though, about other relationships and they feel threatening to you, then that's sort of your part to have to want to discuss. Why do I feel precarious here? And why do I feel scared or threatened? And Jill, don't you think a lot of us feel threatened at times when other people have somebody significant has their attention?
Absolutely. And families that triangulate, you know, they talk in circles and can't be direct. Unfortunately, that does happen a lot. It's the hardest thing for any two people to do is to talk about their relationship. I mean, that's the most intimate thing. So we all check things out around a circle, or a lot of people do, I should say, not necessarily all of us.
I just think that what happens then is, if you have sensitivities, you might have opinions. Your brother doesn't know what to do about them. You might question what he's saying. Why are emails being generated about you? What's happening in this triangulation in the family that's occurring here? And that's all I'm trying to ask. Well, if you can take your part and bring that to your husband and say, you know what? I'm concerned about this leavy-cleavy thingy, but I do think I play a part in it.
Okay. I want to ask a question that I think you asked a different caller, and that is there anything good in the relationship with him? Does he do anything wonderfully well, or do you guys have are you intimate with each other? Tell me about that.
Not as much as I would like. I mean, he's definitely he's an avoider, but he has a great heart, and he's very sweet. He's been very supportive through some challenges in life that we've had or that I've had and different things. So I'm definitely very thankful, but I guess I'm lacking trust.
So this is the big issue. This is the big issue.
Okay.
Right? This is the big issue, that he triangulates and hasn't really left mom and the boys. But there are other good things about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Or is there another bigger issue that also bothers you?
I think the bigger thing, though, that you were hitting on is that you don't completely trust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So when he's talking behind your back, it heightens your fear. Kind of like Mylan was saying about the preoccupation.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but when Steve said, you know, couples should have, like, this policy of you should see anything, like, he doesn't want me to look at his cell phone, or, like, he doesn't like when I use it, or he never, you know, like, whenever I come close to him on the email, then he doesn't want me to, you know, read it. Like, he'll log out before I, you know, if I want to use his computer for some reason. Although, I mean, I don't, you know, he's not cheating on me or anything. He says, well, you know, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think he hasn't left because he's still sort of acting single because we got married when we were 34 and 38.
So what's her best case scenario to try to reduce the amount of triangulation while she's trying to deal with her lack of trust?
Well, I think if you are threatened and sensitive and you are feeling very insecure in the relationship, then you might be over pursuing him, wanting to look at too much. And it is possible, and I'm just asking you to look at your part, am I trying to question too much of what he does? Am I always looking over his shoulder?
Right.
And one of the things he might do, and I would at least ask him that question, what do I do to contribute to this? And that's all I'm trying to say here.
And then just to continue to talk about it when it happens, and maybe he will kind of get how you feel, but not from a I don't trust you, you're betraying me kind of perspective. Try to back off of that extreme.
Yeah, not being accusatory. I'm wondering about being a little bit more vulnerable and just sharing how you struggle with trust. And so you perhaps read more into situations.
Yeah, right.
And so that's why all the questions.
But that's a great point, Jill. Mm-hmm. It's sensitive people can read more into things than are there, and that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Right. Yeah. It's not that you want to see every little thing of his, but there's not a level of openness there between the two of you.
Well, let me send you Mylan's book, How We Love. I hope that will be a blessing to you, get some insight into yourself. Now, you heard about him not wanting her to see the computer, the cell phone.
Well, which just heightens her anxiety, you know.
Sure. Let me say this to you men, especially, and women. You can live like that. You can always be worried. You can always try to hide the history and all that kind of stuff. You can live like that. But what a freeing experience, like I get to have, that my boys can look at my computer anytime. I don't care. They can look at my iPad, my iPhone.
Right.
My wife can pick it up and she can call and dial. We can trade. What a freeing experience it is. So if you just clean up your act a little bit, Your life is so much easier and freer and enjoyable than always having to worry that somebody's going to find out what you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. So maybe it's time to clean up your act on the computer. We'll be back.
Experience new life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Mylan Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience new life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, Maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're on our 100th broadcast. Here's the last caller on the 100th broadcast, and because you're there, we're going to send you free a Bible, and that'll be our gift to you for being the last caller on the 100th broadcast. Gay from Waco, Texas, listens on KBBW, the same station my mom listens to. Hello, how are you?
Doing okay. Thank you for
how
that
could
gift.
We, yeah. How could we help you?
Okay, well, I've listened to you for many years, and I'm a member of Club Lit New Life.
Thank you.
And I'm in counseling with a New Life counselor, so I'm trying to deal with some of my own childhood pain.
All right.
But how do I deal with the pain? I hope I can get through this. I feel for my son when I don't help him, when he's about to get put out on the streets. From the motel he's staying in, or he can't get his insulin. He's dug himself in such a hole. I don't know if he can ever get out of it.
Mm.
How do I stay lovingly detached, not get caught up with him?
Mm.
He has learning disabilities that I wasn't aware of when he was a child, and I would get very distraught with him, thinking he was just being misbehaving. I would scream at him. I feel like I'm a cause of his pain. And,
now, he's 37, is that right?
Yes.
And does he, I mean, is he in the shape that he's in because of drugs or alcohol or anything like that?
It's drugs. And we've put him in many rehabs.
Yeah.
We had him in one this past...
Well... Let me say this. Often, in the case of a 37-year-old drug addict, there is a parent that, out of guilt over the past, is trying to make up for that. And so you do more than is helpful. And so the child or the adult then never has the need to get better. And I would say him being on his own or out in the street is a courageous step on your part that may lead to him getting better. For him to know that mother doesn't come along and just scoop me up and save me. I am finally at 37 on my own, and I have to make a life for myself.
Okay.
But for you, Gay, to kind of reframe it as it's not that you aren't helping your son. You're actually doing the loving thing by allowing him to grow up in some areas that he hasn't yet. You know, by feeling some of the consequences of his own actions.
Yeah, and you yelling at him didn't cause him to be a drug addict. But you not intervening appropriately could extend the addiction that he chose to have. Now, he didn't choose addiction up front, but he chose the drug, and then the drug led to addiction. And so the reaction is the problem, not the original thing that happened in childhood. That can be resolved. But he really does need to finally make some progress. And that's the dilemma with what you've been doing. He's not making any progress.
See, I think you could do two things, Gay. I think, number one, have you ever told him and apologized and owned the screaming thing?
I have asked him for forgiveness.
Good.
Okay.
I told him I'm sad for the pain I caused him.
Good.
And he would deny it. He denied it over and over and over until recently. He just doesn't say anything.
Okay. Well, first of all, by doing that, you've gone to the top 1% of all parents that would apologize to your son. We ask our audiences everywhere, how many of you ever had a parent apologize to you? And there are very few hands that go up. And so I applaud you for that. And then how do I be lovingly detached? I think you love him, but I don't know that you can be lovingly detached. I think all detachment and watching him suffer is going to be a painful detachment. I don't think you can minimize the pain that you're going to feel here in watching him have to suffer. However, I've seen some amazing turnaround stories of people that get picked up, tossed into jail, have to go into different kinds of rehab, get into programs that are constructive. And I just think that you have to let him learn to fail, like Steve is saying. And it's painful.
Yeah.
But if you've asked him for forgiveness, owned your stuff, and told, you know, promise a relationship to him in the future that has boundaries and limits to it when he does certain things, that we still love you, we'll always love you. I think that's how you get by.
Yeah. I heard a wonderful story, and then I met the man, of a man just like this who, into his adult years, was a drug addict. And then, you know, finally decided, okay, it's time. And now he's running the addiction center. Mm-hmm. It's never too late.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never too early. So you need to get some people to help you stay this course. And I bet you've never been to an Al-Anon meeting, have you?
Yes, I have.
You have?
Oh, good.
Do you go regularly?
And that was the first time, I mean, when I first started going to that, was one of the first big steps I took.
Good for you.
Put him out on my patio one night.
Oh, I'm glad that you've
well,
got
Well, they
that.
Talk a lot about healthy detachment.
Yes, they do.
Right. So they can give you lots of tips on that.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad you called. You're Miss 100 there, and I'm so sorry for the pain that you're experiencing with him. And I'm praying right now that something supernatural is going to happen in his life where he will wake up and finally decide it's time to get my life together, to actually have a life.
And that's what happened to the prodigal. He hit a place of pain, of hunger, realizing that the servants back at home had it better than he. And he came to his senses one day.
Yeah.
When he came to the end of himself.
When he came to the end of himself.
And the end of his father's money.
Right.
That's right. And that dad didn't go to the pig pen.
Nope, he didn't.
Didn't say, hey, come on, I'll pay you. I'll pay your way out of there. No, sir. All right, you have been watching or listening New Life Live. Milan Yurkovich, he is the author of How We Love and his new book, How We Love Our Kids. Those are available on the website, newlife.com, along with Dr. Jill Hubbard's book, The Secrets That Women Keep and The Secrets That Young Women Keep. And I've got a new book. Well, it's not new now, but it's Regret-Free Living and then Healing is a Choice, two books recently. I'm just hoping and praying that if there's a resource that could help you, that you would find it. One of the greatest resources we've ever produced is this brand new marriage seminar that's going to be in May in Washington, D.C. And again, newlife.com is the website. You can find it right there. We've got Every Man's Battle coming up, a New Life weekend in July. So many things that are there for you. And I just hope and pray that if there's anything that you need by way of, I want to make my life better, I want to grow in character, you'll try newlife.com first. We do need your help. We have figured out this $110 per show per day average, and we'd love for you to step up and buy one day of New Life in your area. We would really appreciate it. We know that $110 is a big stretch for a lot of people, but it will help us stay on the air doing what we do, doing what we love to do. So please support us financially if you possibly can. But I do know this, you can pray for us. We need a lot of prayer. This is a challenging ministry where we're not trying to help people feel good or feel better. We're trying to help them transform their lives, totally going from one direction to the other. And please pray that we'll get to continue to do that. My thanks to Milan Yurkovich. Always enjoy being with you, Milan. My thanks to Dr. Jill Hubbard. Always enjoy being with you. And thanks to you that watch, listen, and support this ministry. We are so grateful. And now I'll just challenge you to go and do the right thing at the right time for the right reason. Wouldn't that be great if all of our choices were just that? I think so. Well, have a great day, and we'll see you next time here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
to make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.